Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Gregory Crawford on Sports Biz Show. We do this show every Tuesday night at 10 o'clock. And, of course, this is a really fun time for me. The last Tuesday of the month, we talked to four outstanding coaches from the NWAC West and North Division of Basketball, the men's coaches, who are not only outstanding coaches, but they're also shaping the lives of young men and women way beyond the basketball floor. And we have a lot of fun doing this show. And if anybody doesn't think I don't like NWAC basketball, they should defriend me, never talk to me again, never say another word to me. And we do this show each the last Tuesday of each month, and we start out with TJ Cowell, the outstanding men's coach at Tacoma Community College. And TJ, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well. How are you, Gregory?
I'm doing very good. Nice to talk to you. And I want to ask you a question about practice. You're kind of getting going now. What do you like to accomplish in the first week of practice?
In the first week of practice, I like to find out who's going to be willing to work. Who's going to be willing to work throughout the season, who's going to give up first in drills. And really that's it. You know, we like to play defense basically the entire first week and just see who cracks first.
And let me ask you, I'm not being negative. I'm a guy that doesn't believe the glass is half full, half empty. It's who's pouring the water, in my opinion, always. How do you handle a negative practice, a bad practice? And I know you don't want to have very many of those, but we occasionally have those.
Yeah, no doubt. And I like to I try and stay positive as much as possible, but sometimes things have to be done. And, you know, I usually try and be really open and explain everything, why we do everything, what the punishment is going to be for if we're not doing things well. And it's not physical errors that bother me. It's mental errors and just not being ready to go. But we usually just do a little extra conditioning. You know, we do a little extra running. Sometimes we'll have some drills where you have to dive on the ground a little bit and just push the limits physically, I guess.
I do this show prior to this with the NWAC South guys, as all you guys know. You're all friends and friendly competitors, but I always tell the story, TJ, about when I was at Linfield way, way back, and the famous coach Ted Wilson, he would post his practice schedule each morning on the wall. This was before computers or faxes or anything, and he wanted the players to memorize it. Do you post your schedule or email it out, or do you not just come to practice knowing what it is and the players better be ready?
Yeah, I don't. I kind of keep it private, which that's interesting. I like that. I like that philosophy. It has them ready. Coach Wilson posting it like that. And I've done in the past. I've tried teaching, like meeting in the classroom beforehand and teaching all the drills, just so we have less time of teaching when we get on the court and just keep the action moving. But I just give it to myself and my assistant coaches. And we put all the times on the clock, and we try and stick to the time so that we get through everything we need to get to every day. But I like to kind of keep it private, and otherwise guys are always coming up trying to figure out what we're doing next. If it's sitting out on the bleachers, they're all huddled next to it trying to figure out what we're going to do. And I just want them focused on the instruction.
Do you kind of have a time frame for the maximum you're ever going to practice and the minimums you're going to practice? As a really outstanding head coach that you are?
I appreciate that. I don't know if I've proven that I'm outstanding so far, but I'm trying to work that way. We never go more than 2 hours. We have a 2 hour time slot, and we'll lift weights in the morning, and sometimes we'll do some different shooting stuff in the evenings. But at any given time, we're never going to go more than 2 hours. And some of that, I think a lot of that comes from my experience as a player And you can get to a point in practice where you're no longer accomplishing anything. You know, it's just your body's worn out, and that takes your mind out of it too. And I want guys to be fresh every day and to be not to be dreading practice, because I always hated dreading practice as a player. And so I want them to be fresh. And I think if we go as hard as we should go, we really don't need more than 90 minutes in any given practice.
TJ, in conclusion, our team down here in Portland, where I reside, the Portland Trailblazers, had their media day yesterday, and I found it kind of ironic that all the players got up and talked about their preparation for 15-16, and they all were mentioning being in the weight room, getting stronger, getting bigger, and I chuckle a little bit because they're not the only team that's getting stronger and bigger. The only two players that mentioned that they really worked on their game and fundamentals were Myers Leonard and Damian Lillard. Maybe that's why they're the stars of the team.
Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? It makes total sense. I'm kind of on the same mindset, is that you're only going to do so much for your game in the weight room. You got to be working on the skills year round. Myles Leonard has come a long ways in the last couple of years too. I think he's going to play valuable minutes for him. I was living out in Illinois when he was playing for them, and he was a small town Central Illinois guy. He's come a long ways, but I believe you got to be in the gym working on all different facets of the game. Everyone's going to be lifting, but it's who's in the gym late at night and early morning making baskets. The key to basketball, in my opinion, is scoring points. So that's the biggest way that you can improve your game.
TJ, you got us off to a fabulous start tonight, and I love it. I love doing this show with you guys, and I want to give you as much publicity and stuff all year long as I can. So thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you again in a month's time, or not sooner.
Can't wait. Yeah, thanks for having me again.
You betcha. That's TJ Kyle, the head men's coach at Tacoma Community College. Now let's go to Peninsula College, where Mitch Freeman is the head men's basketball coach. And Mitch, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Greg. Thank you so much for having me on and having us on.
You betcha. My pleasure. We got a huge listening audience. Thanks to all you guys for your great promotion. I mean, we have lots of listeners tonight around the world, Mitch, so that's fabulous.
Yes.
And tell those listeners around the world, what do you like to accomplish in the first week of practice?
Well, the first week of practice, I think creating a foundation for how we want to play the game, how we want to step on the floor and learn how to compete. Guys are very excited to step on the court, and I do want to keep that excitement there as well, too. But it's a mindset that we want to create. We do a lot of skill development, a lot of shooting, as TJ was saying, too. I mean, you got to make shots, so we can consistently work on our skill development and focus on some of the offensive and defensive concepts we want to do and want to be able to execute. But that excitement and that mindset are two really important things that we want to have that first week of practice.
You know, I do like to tell Coach Wilson stories, because I was close to him at Lynn Field, and a lot of people don't know about him. And his team's averaged over 100 points a game like 5 years in a row without a three-point shot. But are there any six-hour practices Peninsula, as Coach Wilson used to often do on Sundays?
No, I don't think so, man. I think at the beginning of the year, we will go a little longer than we want to, only because there's more instruction, more explanation, more talking, which I try to stay away from, and we really want to have our practices look as close to a game-like as possible. But, obviously the first month or two, there's going to be a lot of talking and instruction going on. But as the season goes along, as games go along, we shorten our practice down. And I would say, during conference and the end of conference, we're in the gym about 40 minutes. But at the beginning, it's quite a bit of time, but a lot of it's talking, like I was talking about. I just mentioned we want our guys to be excited to come to practice. And if you're running long practices, guys lose excitement and not willing to play hard as they want to. So
Mitch, how do you how do you handle a bad practice?
There's no such thing as a bad practice, is there? No, I mean, bad practices come and go. I think that we're lucky this year. We have an experienced, a seasoned group of guys coming back. And really, I look at our leaders, and I want our guys to hold each other accountable. I can scream and yell, put them on the line. But I think at the end of the day, you want your guys to really create a culture that they're holding each other accountable and they're playing for each other. That's the goal. Now, there's times where we got to step in as coaches, but I really want it to come from our guys. I think that's really important because they're the ones that are going to have to, they live and die with each other out there on the court. And so they got to be able to help each other out. So those happen, but I really think it's got to come from within.
And, in your coaching career, which has been successful and people really enjoy you as a basketball coach, have you ever had a young man that maybe was just not a good practice player but excelled in the games? And I don't mean somebody that was lazy in practice. He just
No, I have that. I've had those kind of guys in my short time as a head coach here at Peninsula College. I've had those kind of guys, and but I think you deal with a lot of different personalities across the board. You deal with guys that – I have guys that are really good practice players, so then you put them in the game, and they don't shine under the lights. It goes both ways. I think it's really important as a coach, as we spend way more time on the practice floor, in the film room, in the weight room, that we got to connect with our players and find out what makes them tick and be able to create, we're going to treat everybody the same, but differently at the same time. So trying to work with your players and find out how to maximize their abilities. And so that will vary from player to player, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. What are you expecting out of your team? Do you write down a number that you don't share with anybody of how many wins you expect, or are you different in that regard than maybe some other coaches do?
Yeah, well, we have a few lofty goals in mind that we share at the beginning of the year. We talk about them one time, and then we kind of leave it at that. And so, yeah, there is something there. But then we have a bunch of strategic goals that we look at and that we want to be able to achieve throughout the season. And so I'm excited about our group just because we do return a lot of guys. We return 9 guys. We bring in 6 new freshmen, big guys that really gelled well together last year, especially toward the end of the season. So we're excited. Guys are really excited to be at practice right now. We're doing a lot of, right now a lot of conditioning, and we're in the weight room a little bit on the floor, but they're definitely excited to be with one another right now.
And, a final quick question for you.
Yeah.
The weight room, the weight room's important, but also, do you feel like skills are waning a little bit in basketball, Mitch, and they need to be worked on even more, like shooting?
Yeah, no question. I heard the end of your interview with TJ, and absolutely. I think that weightlifting, especially for the 1s, 2s, and 3s, I mean, the guards have got to be able to shoot the basketball. Not that the bigs don't, but the guards have really got to be able to shoot. And that a lot of heavy lifting, Olympic-sized lifting, isn't necessarily basketball-type specific workouts. And my time and my experience with Coach Tony Bennett at Washington State, now at Virginia, but he spent some time in the NBA, and he took a lot of different core exercises, flexibility, quick feet. You got to work on certain basketball type movements, and some of the major lifting is just way, in my opinion, overrated and unnecessary at times. And so we try to really keep it basketball specific and injury prevention type workouts, but got to be able to make baskets, no question about it.
Very well said. Mitch Freeman, great job tonight, per usual. We'll talk to you again
Thank
in a
you.
Month, and hopefully talk to you sooner. Thank you.
I appreciate it, Greg. Thank you. Okay.
You betcha. Mitch Freeman, the head men's coach of Peninsula College in the state of Washington, a member of the NWAC, and just a great school up there and does a great job. Now let's go to another guy that does a great job, Kyle Gray, the head men's coach at Edmonds Community College. And, Kyle, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great, Gray. How are you?
I'm doing good. How do you handle the first week of practice? What do you want to accomplish out of it?
I think our biggest thing is communication. We're just trying to get the guys to learn how to communicate to one another. I think that's the biggest piece that they can have. I mean, we're going to, try to get used to all the drills and everything that we're going to kind of get the norms of what we want them to do and the fundamentals and everything that what we're going to be about. But the biggest thing, I think, is then to learn how to communicate to one another. A lot of new teammates and guys getting to know each other, how to play with each other on the court. And so communication is going to be the biggest thing that we're going to focus on that first week.
With all this technology out there today, Kyle, is do you have to work a little extra hard on communication? Because I'm not sure too many people talk to each other anymore face-to-face.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good point, actually. Yeah, but we have a lot. We have a good amount of talkers on our team, so it's okay.
I like that. Now, do you post your practice schedule or email it out, or do you keep it until you get to practice and everybody just better be ready to shine?
Oh yeah, we have a pretty elaborate practice plan. It's broken down pretty well, and it's on. We have a team board that all the guys are supposed to go look at before practice and kind of get an idea of what's to come, and then about 15 minutes into practice, I throw out the window and we do something else. But we just stick to that usually as best we can. And then, there are a few surprises along the way. Some things will take a little longer than others, but they'll have a general idea of what we're doing. And because I want those guys to start really kind of thinking about, what's coming up and kind of preparing themselves, because it's no good to catch them by surprise, in my opinion, with some of this stuff, because I want them to be kind of ahead of the game when we start getting into it.
Kyle, I've seen all of you, and I'm thrilled to say this, coach many times on the program. One thing I'm impressed is the way players respect all of you guys that are on the program with me here tonight. How do you gain that respect from players?
I think you really just got to get their trust first. At this time of the season, it's kind of a, back and forth a little bit with guys that are kind of new. And, you spend a lot of time recruiting them, and there's a lot of smiles going back and forth, and they haven't seen you kind of in the practice mode, which is a little bit of a different personality. So I think you just have to kind of gain their trust first, and then I think the respect comes after that. And, I think that if you're recruiting the right way, you know what you're getting as a player. But the players, kind of are a little bit, worrisome as far as what they might be getting from a coach, or hesitant anyway. And, I think if you have the trust of your players, then it'll just keep going throughout the season, and the respect will be there.
The great John Spoelstra pointed this out to me about a year ago. He's even brighter than his son, and his son Eric isn't bad either, but John told me that 97% of Americans never achieve their goal. 50% do make their deadlines. Do you write down any personal deadlines or goals that you don't share with anybody, like how many wins you want to get or where you want to be by January 20th, something like that?
I don't think I do necessarily on purpose. Maybe I'm looking at the schedule, kind of planning out kind of what I see and where I see that we might be at. But, quite honestly, like by January, it's really just you just want to be playing competitive basketball. I mean, that's when they all really matter anyway. And be relatively healthy, of course. So, I mean, as far as that's concerned, I mean, I think a lot of our goals, at least for myself and my coaching staff, if we were to have any on that level, it's just about, what we're doing for the guys on the team and doing for them as people and all that kind of stuff. I think that's the most important thing that we do. The wins, the losses, if we're pushing the guys the right way and we recruited the way we thought we recruited, that'll take care of itself, and we'll get there one way or the other. So As far as just writing stuff down, though, no, we don't really do a ton of that. So it's really just about, you know, taking it day by day and going from that.
Kyle, you just made it into the Greg Crawford Sports Hall of Fame. You didn't even know it, did you? When you said that you look at the schedule. I'm getting tired of some coaches. Nobody on this program saying, well, one game at a time. Well, I know you can play it one game at a time. We already know that. But I think if you're a basketball coach, you got to look at your schedule and you got to figure things out.
Yeah. I mean, let's not be foolish here. I mean, we all
right.
As coaches are looking at the schedule. I mean, even the guys are looking at the schedule. You're trying, of course, you're getting them to go one at a time. Of course, you know, that's the game plan. But I mean, if you're doing your job right, you're you know, making sure that you have the week's plan and you're doing at least two games a week. I mean, you got to at least look at the second game of the week just to make sure that you are ready to go with a good game plan. So, I mean, we look at the schedule all the way through.
Absolutely. So well said. Terrific job tonight, Kyle. And it's easy to figure out why you're a successful coach just by the way you answer questions. And thanks for being a big part of this program. And we'll see you or talk to you within a month, or we'll have you on again at the end of next month.
All right. Thanks, Greg. I appreciate it.
You betcha. That's Kyle Gray, the head men's coach at Edmonds Community College. Now we'll close out the program with Aaron Landon. He is the one that kind of got this whole thing going, and I appreciate his support and all the promotion and everything else of getting the coaches together. Aaron is the head men's coach at South Puget Sound Community College in beautiful Olympia, Washington. Good evening, Aaron. How are you?
Hey, Greg. Thanks for the warm introduction. I think it's obvious you got this whole deal going, but I definitely used to listen when I was working under Coach Barbrick and you'd interview him. So it's really fun to be on here doing the show with you now.
Yeah, thank you. Nobody else is doing stuff like this, and I'm proud of what we've been able to accomplish, but I couldn't do without all you guys. You know, what do you want to accomplish? Speaking of accomplish, what do you want to do in the first week of practice, Aaron? What's your philosophy?
You know, it's just really introducing the structure of our practice, and that can change a little throughout the year, but this time of year, we you know, probably do five or six things a day. Nothing real fancy, just simple stuff. We want to be really good at it. So just introduce that stuff. Those are drills that we'll do all year. And then just, you know, try to get our guys dialed in with the energy we want to practice with. And a lot of times, you know, that takes people in the gym manufacturing energy by talking and bringing enthusiasm. So, you know, just being that and living that and being that person to kind of get them comfortable using their voices and talking in our practices.
Aaron, do you post your practice schedule in advance?
Yeah, I do, and I love making it. I'll never forget, we were in Los Angeles one time when I was coaching at Concordia, and Barbrick tells me Michael Holton, Anthony Holton's father, who, you know, is a big-time successful Division I coach, UCLA and University of Portland, and now is a broadcaster for the Trailblazers, says you got to take him to the airport. So I get in the car, and you know, I want to use that moment to ask him questions. And I asked him, I said, you know, I've never been a head coach. What is the coolest part about being a head coach? And he just said real simply, I get up in the morning and I start working on a practice plan. And I drink my coffee and I work on it and I tweak it all day. So I always thought, you know, that was great and I've tried to do that. So I work on it. I try to post it about 15 minutes before we start. And then I just try to follow it on time. I think that planning is just a huge part of organization. So I got to, you know, show my guys that I prepare and plan well.
Yeah, very good. Is there a maximum and a minimum time that is ideal for you during the year for practice?
Yeah, probably that two-hour range. I've been listening to your show tonight, the West Region, you know, North Region guys, and then before us, the Oregon guys. We're pretty much in line with that two-hour cap. And I tell you, once we're in conference and maybe the practices are more scout-focused or preparation-focused in terms of opponent scouting and planning, probably even shorter. I'd say maybe 90 minutes once we're in the middle of league. That's what we do during the week.
How do you handle a bad practice? And I think You know, probably there are bad practices, and any coach will really admit it, just like probably there's bad calls by referees.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, bad practices, when I played, I mean, I know I had bad practices, and, you know, I thought Cliff Wegner gave a good example, and we went through something similar. I thought we didn't, you know, have a great playing segment in our practice today, so I stopped it at the very end, and we just focused on some really fundamental passing. Yeah, I just want to break out of it, so we stopped playing. I felt like with something fundamental, we were still able to evaluate, you know, who can do this well and who can't, and we're developing skills. So, you know, changing on the fly if you feel like you're not accomplishing anything. But like, you know, Coach Wegner talked about, we'll break it down a little bit tomorrow. I think we need to slow it down and teach so that guys can apply that the next time we want to speed it back up. So it was, yeah, it was kind of nice hearing him talk about that tonight. Other guys are going through it too.
You know, you're very excited about 15-16. I've talked to you off the air, on the air, and I think that's great. You really see an improvement coming in your team, and I'm looking forward to that.
Thanks. Well, I appreciate the support, and I know we'll have you out at some games and this crossover tournament that we host. So, I've said since I got here, you can really, you know, judge me in year three. You know, I've got some sophomore leaders. We've got a good recruiting class. We've got good transfers. It's, you know, it's time to make the move. So we have those expectations, and, you know, the season's coming up fast. So I'm looking forward to it, as I know you are.
Yeah, Aaron, finally for you, same question I've asked some of the guys tonight. Respect factor, how do you gain the respect of your players? And we didn't even talk about this subject 30 years ago when I was just a kid, 5 years old. No. Anyway, how do you gain the respect of your players?
I think for me, it's just I'm transparent with who I am, right? They see me all the time. I'm on campus full time. They get to see me work. And I just, without talking about it a ton, I just like to show them how hard I work when I come in early in the morning and how serious I am about preparation and planning and just being that person. I think that earns their respect. And then once it's time to go home, I think whether we've had, you know, a good day or a bad day, however you want to say it, they respect me because in the bigger picture, I understand that, you know, we've got people in our lives that we all love, and doing right by them, you know, after you leave practice, that's how I'd really want to be judged, and that's what I'd want to be respected for. And I think, you know, no matter what the emotions are with basketball, you know, you show people that you genuinely, you know, love people and care about people, you know, they'll respect you. And if they don't, you know, then you don't want them around you anyway. So, short answer to that, I just try to work real hard and do the right thing and hope that, you know, I got good people around me that recognize it.
Very good, Aaron Landon. Great job tonight. Thanks for all your great support and promotion of this show. And Aaron is the head men's coach at South Puget Sound Community College. Have a great month, and we'll talk to you in a month's time, Aaron. Good night, listeners. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to make all your free throws.